So what does LFG stand for? We won't discuss it here.
Oh, it stands for Little Furry Guy, since he's a rabbit.
The Little Furry Guy 2000.
Yeah, easy.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 144. And I'm back.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you. I missed it. I think that was only my second episode to ever have to miss. I think
third.
I missed Snowboard Kids.
And you missed the Game Boy one, Adam's Family.
You're right.
So three.
Look at you.
So you actually missed the most.
You're the biggest ditcher.
Believe it or not.
Kenny hasn't missed more than that.
No.
I've had more like weird recordings where I have to like record on location somewhere right. with a terrible mic.
Does that offend you, Dustin?
I'm very hurt because I feel like I put in the most work for this. Mm-hmm.
You certainly have, but you also ditched the most.
I don't say ditch.
You do.
I mean, you were only out of the country and not near any kind of internet, and you didn't have an excuse.
Not just out of the country. It was Belize, and so it's not like that's easy to just, you know what, I'll bring my microphone to. And anyways, I have to say that you guys recorded a great podcast episode.
Really? I thought it was trash. Thank you.
No, it was good. Like, and I jokingly, we've said I need to be gone more because we've had so much activity this week.
Yeah,
which
it's been great.
We'll talk about later in the episode, but it's just been a good week. I want to let you guys know up front. Saw a graph this last week that you'd both be interested in. I'll put it up in Discord, but it's a graph showing Nintendo hardware sales from the NES all the way to the Switch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, super interesting. So take a guess, both of you, which console sold the most units and which sold the least? This is home console. This is hand console.
Number of units total?
That's the number that I'm asking for. And I'm not asking for the number, actually. I'm just asking for which console out of the Nintendo products do you think did least and most?
I think I know the most.
All right.
I think it's the Wii. I think the Wii sold the most.
And then what would you say for least?
Did the Switch pass that? I'll stick with Wii, but I think it's probably Switch. Least, I'm going to say Game Boy Pocket, just because why not?
Is that a thing? Why is that on here?
Oh, it's not? Okay, I'll pick a different one. Is it?
I thought you said handheld. That's how much of not a thing
it was.
Well,
I did say handheld.
Maybe it's just saying like Game Boy. And then Game Boy Advance and Game Boy Pocket was a thing. It was like a miniature.
What if you just made it up and it never was a thing?
I promise I didn't. I had one.
You remember something that didn't even exist.
Okay, sold the worst in 64. No, that's not true.
I'm going to say, I don't know. I feel like if it wasn't surprising, you wouldn't bring it up. So I'm going to say the original Game Boy sold the most.
Okay.
No.
What would you say sold the least?
You're so wrong.
Oh, goodness. I don't know.
I know, right?
It's one of those moments you're
GameCube?
Like, what consoles did Nintendo create?
I'm going to say GameCube, maybe.
Okay.
Good.
I'm wrong on both of those.
No, I think that's a good answer. I'm going to go with Game Boy sold the least and Wii sold the most.
All right. It's an interesting input from both of you, and all of it was completely wrong. But they were close, some in proximity. And I'll share it with you the list later. We'll do least first. Least is actually the Wii U.
Oh, duh. Okay. I'm so stupid. I knew that.
Wii U sold the least. Not that it was a bad console, I don't think. Just it wasn't really promoted well. And
I liked it, but general consensus, even from Nintendo fans, is that it was trash.
I think I forgot about it so hard that probably explains why.
I'm so dumb. I knew that.
It didn't. Yeah, that should have been an obvious answer.
The most. Are y'all ready for this?
Switch.
I'm ready.
The Nintendo DS.
Bull.
By
Bull
S-H-I-T,
that is.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
isn't that
shot?
Interesting?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
What about
I'm looking
home
at
console?
The graph right here. What home?
Probably Wii.
I mean, so listen, here, I'll tell you the top three, right? Sure. So it's DS followed by Game Boy. So Kenny wasn't that far off. And then, yes, the Wii.
How old is this?
No, I'll pull it. I mean, the Switch is on here too, but okay. The Switch hasn't been out long at all, Nolan. So
no, but they broke lots of records. Like, right. It's going to be their most sold.
Sure,
for sure.
It probably will. But it's not yet. I mean, the thing with looking at these lists is that Nintendo takes big risks. We've talked about that. And sometimes, most of the times, it pays off. You know, but they're always innovative, never completely imitating the ones that came before them, which cannot be said of our retro game of the week, Jazz Jackrabbit. Dang.
Nice.
Overview.
So Jazz Jackrabbit is, I don't know, Sonic the Hedgehog for PC. If we want to take Dustin's segue, and
I'm not going to give it away, but don't either degrade Sonic that much or prograde it that much.
I'm going to prograde it whore. So somebody's got to counteract me.
Well, either way, obviously Dustin thinks this game is a little bit derivative, but let's talk about what it was. Jazz Jackrabbit is a 1994.
I didn't just make that up out of nowhere.
Let him talk. Hang on.
I'm not arguing. Like,
Kenny, stay on track.
Okay. It's a 1994. We'll have that conversation. It's a 1994 DOS title for PC that dropped by Epic Mega Games. So a little bit of back history. If you enjoy or have played a game like Unreal or a game powered by the Unreal Engine, or if you enjoy, what's the other one I didn't play? The Gears of War series or any number of other big titles from Epic, you have Jazz Jackrabbit to thank. So
no. So that. Fortnite players have to thank this game.
Yeah, exactly. If you love or hate Fortnite, however you feel about it, you can redirect all of those energies towards Jazz Jackrabbit if you'd like. It's a platforming video game that happens in the same style as the other popular platformers of the time. You mentioned Sonic, but there's a number of other kind of games that you can clearly see were the inspiration for and kind of mashup for Jazz Jackrabbit. But it was a little bit unique for that to be happening on the PC and to be happening on a PC in some of the ways that it was. Your titular character is a jackrabbit.
Well, yeah, that's a big deal. But that you said it's unique. So side-scrolling to PC was a relatively new thing during the 90s. Remember, we talked about it a little bit when we played Commander Keen, because Commander Keen did it. It was one of the first, I think actually the first, in 1990. And here we are, you know, a few years later, and they've just continued with that. But still in the early stages of side-scrolling platforming games.
Oh, absolutely.
PC.
And this is that mid-90s era that is pre, I'm going to say, quote-unquote, real internet. Like, the internet existed, but in a very different form than we think of it today. Okay. And so this was a shareware title, and so it got pushed out on floppy disks, posted online on bulletin boards and any number of other, like, gaming communities.
And shareware it was free to have and free to share. Like, you could give it to anyone.
It's an open-source game.
Did y'all have, I don't know if we did this last time we talked about shareware, did y'all have all of those AOL free trial discs?
Absolutely. Oh, of course. They came in the mail.
Y'all, I literally probably had 100 plus of
and
these things.
The internet disc with the kid surfing on it with a backwards hat?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
That was like the internet key.
Amazing thing with this one is you could pop in that floppy disc, and then you could, after finishing the first episode, you could use the numbers and stuff, information that it gives you on that screen, to buy the rest of the game via phone or mail order.
Yeah, that was old school demos.
Absolutely.
We could download demos.
But this game, and it's not a surprise, people like free stuff and don't like having to jump through a bunch of hoops to get extra content. And PCs were just starting to kind of proliferate. And this game got huge. Everybody shared it. I feel like everybody who was PC gaming in that era played and had a piece of it. I know my childhood definitely had a couple of years where Jazz Jackrabbit played a big piece of our home entertainment's, I don't know, kind of on the computer segment. And so they pushed it that way. They gave it away, or at least Shareware, they will give away a limited portion of the game and then you buy the rest. It's kind of, I don't know, paid DLC before that was the thing.
And it's all about a jackrabbit.
And it's a jackrabbit, and you're running around with a gun, not just a jackrabbit, a Rambo-style inspired jackrabbit with funky jazz attitude.
I do appreciate the bandana.
And the LFG 2000, another which, reference to
Doom.
Yeah, to Doom, and it's BFG 9000.
So what does LFG stand for? We won't discuss it here.
Oh, it stands for Little Furry Guy, since he's a rabbit.
The Little Furry Guy 2000.
Yeah.
Wait.
Easy.
What's the Doom reference? I didn't get it.
The BFG 9000 is the
big
very popular
freaking gun.
No, Big Furry Guy.
Big Furry Guy in Doom.
Little Furry Guy? That's great.
Yep. And so you run around with this gun and you shoot enemies and you navigate through sort of maze-like kind of Sonic-inspired speedy platforming. And try and save the rabbit princess from the evil hare. It's a whole play on the whole tortoise and the hare thing as
his
their
name's
theme.
Devin Shell. Devin. His name's Devin.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I love it. And it's a great villain name.
And he kidnapped Eva Earlong.
I hate that, though. On the planet Caritas?
Yeah, it's just over and over again, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Gameplay.
So run fast, shoot a lot, and rescue the princess.
All right, gameplay section wrapped up. Moving on. Yeah, it does play like Sonic. Dustin probably thinks that it's exactly like Sonic, but...
Y'all are saying that, but I'm the only one now that hasn't used that word.
Hasn't said what, Sonic?
Yeah.
You said that at the beginning.
I did not. Go back and listen right now.
He never said Sonic. He just said it was, he just implied that it was heavily derivative, which is true and not just from Sonic, but I want to see where he pulls his, what it was like from. Because Sonic is certainly one of the ones that needs to make that list.
I think it's so different. So Jazz, and that's sarcasm, Jazz has a health bar. Sonic doesn't have a health bar.
That's true.
He has a gun.
Fundamentally different. He has a gun. Sonic doesn't shoot stuff.
Right. And not just one gun. He's got like six different guns.
Yes,
right?
He does. And some fun ones.
So not only are you running fast, but you are shooting one of your weapons. You've got a blaster. That's your primary weapon. And then you've got a toaster. You've got an RF missile launcher. You've got an RF missile, a launcher. Are those two different ones? And then you've got TNT. And they all have limited ammo except your original gun, your blaster, which is kind of a pea shooter that has unlimited ammo, but it is fairly weak and relatively slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not very big, kind of just standard fare. Though it does enough. It's not like it's a terrible gun.
Something that's unique from Sonic, another thing that's unique is that this game doesn't have like... pits to fall in, like a lot of platformers. That's not just Sonic, that's literally any platformer on console. You have more of like a maze like platforming instead of jumping over hard gaps or dodging. I mean, you dodge enemies, but like, I don't know, that was like a noticeable thing in this game for me. It was like there's nowhere to fall.
That's true. I didn't even take note of it just because I'm not... These fast speed, go fast, 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 I've never really liked them because I've never felt in control. I never felt in control of Sonic. I never... much less Jazz.
Well, you should have played on slow motion mode.
No, no one does that.
Yeah, I did. It was the worst thing.
You could have.
No one does that. He feels twitchy and spastic, and you can't see much of the level around you because of the zoom in. We can talk about some of those things. But with that, yeah, the saving grace there would be that there aren't these massive gaps to fall into. So there's not really instant death. However, there are a lot of enemies. And so you can really only run into them a handful of times before you lose a life and have to start back at the checkpoint or at the start of the stage.
Yeah.
Speaking of saving grace, this also was a PC title, which gave you the option to save your progress as you were playing, which is fundamentally different and going to change how at least a lot of people choose to play and navigate these levels versus something like a Sonic that's released on console.
Yeah, I did think that was interesting that you could save in this game. This is not a game that I would guess you'd have a save feature in.
Yeah. And you can save anywhere. Right. I don't think it picks you up. It loads you in right there in that moment. It's not like a quick save or something like that. Or like a save state. I think it starts you back at the stage, but with the lives, the ammo, the points, I believe that's how it worked because I died, you know, a lot. And then I reloaded throughout the week. And I don't think that I would start where exactly
like where right where. Are you, yeah,
right,
like a save state or something,
right,
but still nice to have. Like, that's not, you're right, Kenny, that's not in any traditional platformer.
No,
that's not
a thing. Were things that really felt like they were majorly platformers, and then there were things about it that felt very PC. I mean, the default behavior, unless you know you were doing something unique and using a gamepad, which they were kind of even peddling in this game, sort of, which was interesting.
Oh, the joystick thing?
Yeah, default behavior was you're playing this on mouse and keyboard. Keyboard.
And I guess this would be the time to say it. I think you may have just referenced it, but I know that there was a little bit of talk about it in Discord this week. And I was confused when people started talking about the Gravis pad is what they were calling it. Mm-hmm. Disturbed thought that they were talking about, you know, other things. And then I did research and found out that it's actually the Gravis PC gamepad.
Yeah, this was the first console-style handheld gamepad to plug into your PC and then have you play games with.
Big deal. I actually watched a review of the gamepad this week, and it's super similar to the SNES controller.
Really?
In look and color and all of those things, it's got four buttons on the side and then a D-pad on the other side. The D-pad has an optional little stick joystick that you can put into it, so you could use a joystick if you would like to. And then those four buttons on the right hand side are completely customizable. You can customize what those buttons do.
Dang.
And
Steam controller in 1994?
Yeah, kind of.
That's huge, actually.
I don't think it had the paddles that the Super Nintendo had. You didn't have L and R. But besides that, and I think, you know, the D-pad kind of felt different.
Felt more rubbery.
Consensus. Yeah.
And then the controller itself was a lower grade material, so it felt more plasticky,
But they did some things like allow you to have left-handed mode. If you wanted to swap it around and have your D-pad on the right, it would allow you to do that. And a number of other things that were just them really trying to be novel and make this something people wanted.
They even go no-handed mode, which you just kind of use your mind and telekinetically.
That is next level.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I will say that I definitely would have preferred to have that, well, a controller playing this game, because it was kind of frustrating on keyboard. Because I totally agree with you, Dustin. It was jerky. Like, you couldn't, it was too fast at times.
But I don't know if a controller is going to solve that, man.
Maybe not.
I think some of it's just game and how they designed it. Like, it feels way less fluid. It definitely has some jank factor. They also didn't do a great job of choosing key bindings, I thought. I had a hard time getting used to what I was hitting and was always hitting buttons I didn't need to, or accidentally swapping my gun, or... Again, it's not WASD. Like, it hadn't gotten to the point where people played computer games like that yet.
Oh, no.
Even it's pre kind of that era of things, and so it was,
it's right side of keyboard.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It's what is it? It's space to no alt
space
to jump,
to shoot,
space to shoot, space
alt
to
jump.
Shoot, alt to
alt
jump, arrow keys to move,
control to move through your weapons.
One through five also can change your weapons.
And then a few keys to save or to go into slow motion mode or all the bonusy stuff.
Would you keep motion mode? I never once clicked on that. Is it just does it make everything go slower?
It's worse though. It just plays the game slowly. It's bad.
Like even it just changes the speed of everything.
Correct.
Think about Sonic, but in slow motion. So much fun.
Can you imagine playing this game on easy in slow motion mode?
Oh, goodness. I played on normal, by the way. It goes easy, normal, hard, and turbo.
When they give you different images of Jazz based on which level of difficulty you were choosing.
How funny is that?
It made me not choose easy. I went to easy, but then he turned into this baby.
Tiny little baby.
And I decided I can't force myself to do that. If you go all the way up to, what'd you call it? Turbo?
Turbo. It's like a roided out.
I think there's even an unlockable nightmare mode, but that's sort of like a cheat or something.
Cheats in these games. You pause it in the middle of the game. You can type in some cheat codes. One thing that's really interesting, I don't remember the name of the company, but I think they were feuding with another company at this time, Apogee Gaming. And if you pause the game and type in Apogee, then it degrades the gameplay. It slows it down and turns the coloration.
It calls it apology mode and makes the gameplay like slow and terrible, and like the colors really muted and washed out. And was literally just a shot across the bow of like how they thought their games looked.
Like they ended up getting trouble for that, and in later iterations they had to remove that or at least change the password, you know? That was super interesting to read about this.
I love this game, bro. Yeah. That's so funny.
Lots of little unique to the time kinds of things. And not just in like the fact that it was a PC title or shareware, or that you had these different controls, even in how it played in not being so like boss driven, though you did have bosses, but in it being like exploration and you trying to find upgrades and collect points, and a lot more focus on unlocking secret areas or going to bonus levels or those kind of things as sort of the hook to keep you playing than other similar kinds of games. And that to me just felt a lot more like mid-90s PC. I don't know. It's a kind of vague concept, so I don't know if you guys got that, but it had that vibe to me a lot harder than you might have thought.
Yeah, I mean, for that to be like good to me, the level design needs to be pretty stellar. And it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like amazing. And they're long enough levels, so we haven't mentioned it, but each chapter has three worlds or three planets to play, and those are your levels. And some of them felt cut and paste, and some of them just weren't designed well. Like they were just kind of a maze for a maze's sake. Like there was nothing rewarding, or like I didn't get that exploration you're talking about. Really, I kind of got repetitiveness. Whereas in Sonic, you get quick stages that I think works better for this kind of fast gameplay.
In this game, I just got lost. Some of the stages are expansive, like they're massive, and there's hidden areas. There's multiple different routes to take, and I would just get lost and not know where to go. Thankfully, on most of these stages, you're getting some arrows that are pointing you generally in the right direction.
That's nice, though.
But still, man, I found myself lost quite often. And here's the thing maybe we can kind of just transition into. My major contention with this game is this tension that between. They obviously want you to go fast. It's clearly set up to be like Sonic. Jazz's feet kind of like circle really fast, and he goes extremely fast. And there's even upgrades that make him go even faster, or not upgrades, but little power ups.
You can get like speed up boots, literally like Sonic, that make him like fly through the screen.
And so there's that, but then you're given a gun and your only way to take out enemies is not to do what Sonic does and plow through them or jump on them, but to use your LFG. And so they're asking you then to slow down to be able to use your gun. And so there's this tension of go fast through the stage because that's why they're how they're created. And then, but then slow down to be able to shoot the enemies around you so you don't get damaged.
Or run into a wall.
Yeah, there's lots of bonuses for finding the hidden stuff or like for level completion if you kill all of the enemies, if you collect all of the items. And so you're right. It's a weird it's unclear what they're going for. I think if they had slowed it down just a little bit, giving you a slightly wider screen to kind of see what you were doing and just focused on the jump around, shoot your enemies, not the run fast, go, go, go kinds of vibe, it would have been a better game overall.
That's what I was wondering. What if this game, and it, I mean, for many, it'd probably cut out the fun, but what if this game was not a fast running game, set up the same way pretty much, but instead it was just a more moderately paced platformer with that gun?
I say yes to that because right now it feels like the theme was forced. Oh, it's the hare. You have to go fast because the tortoise and the hare. So it was just based off theme. When gameplay came into the picture, it just kind of didn't work. It was broken up into two different ideas to me.
Yeah, you could have even done that if the main way you got points was by beating the level in a certain amount of time. Like, you could have designed around it and it'd been fine.
Sure.
But they kind of didn't. It's like they tried to do two things at the same time. And I think the game's identity definitely suffers a little bit from it. I really do.
Aged.
So maybe the level design didn't do it for me, but I do think they pulled off like humor pretty well. And there's some charm to the game that I think ages really well. So we mentioned the little animations or the different versions of Jazz when you choose the difficulty. I thought that was hilarious. And then just some of the like after you beat the stage pictures are just kind of goofy and funny. Like after one of them, it's just Jazz's like it's one of those bonus stages where you're running on the street and you're going like it's
kind of like the Sonic bonus
stages. Exactly like the Sonic pinball mini game. And then afterwards, like Jazz's face is all like screwed up because he's dizzy. So I think the humor is actually there for me on this one. And I wasn't expecting it to be like, I knew that Kenny would probably really like it because he grew up playing it, but I don't know. I think it's still pretty funny.
We've seen this humor a lot on our podcast with these very late 80s, early 90s games. I don't know if you guys recall, but like some of the games that we played are like thick early 90s, you know? And some of that, there's just a humor there and a look and a feel, which I think that this one also does, but there's a humor there in some of those games that I agree. I mean, it's not my favorite, but I wasn't annoyed by it. I think from the menu, again, with the, you know, the selection of the difficulty to the way that Jazz acts to even like if you leave Jazz alone for a while, he's got something like he pulls out a carrot, chomps on it, and then does like a Bugs Bunny type thing with it. Like there is some humor with the storytelling, with the characterization, even with the menuing that I thought, it was still pleasant.
I do think it's important to have a little bit of a conversation about in general how much more difficult PC games, especially from this era, are in terms of playing into the future. Obviously, some of that has been fixed because DOSBox exists and services like GOG and maybe a couple others have really addressed that to some degree. But for a long time, this is a title that you would have a hard time picking up and playing because even if you had the original discs, playing it on future computers that had beefier processors and more power would actually kind of break the whole gameplay experience. It was really sort of designed
like
around
fast.
Where computers were. And so you had to actually go back and like patch the game to let it run at the appropriate speeds. And there's a lot of issues with just something that is as sort of technology specific as a game released specifically for home PCs at a certain time. And again, we've overcome some of that, but in real kind of hacky patchy ways. And it's certainly makes it less future proof than, you know, playing a game on a console.
I think that's been a constant complaint of ours. It's so interesting because all three of us primarily are PC gamers. No, right. You're kind of moving away with that with your Switch nowadays.
I'm a Switch boy, sorry.
But we have historically been PC boys.
Yeah, yeah.
And out of all the games that we play as a part of this podcast, the games that are consistently most difficult to emulate, like I'm talking about out of all of our consoles, are PC games.
Absolutely.
It's super frustrating.
It's interesting because you would think that PCs would be able to easily like be backwards compatible.
Right.
But when you think about, I guess consoles, they're just optimized for the games that they play, whereas PC, you know, computers do many things. And
when you're emulating for a console, like you're emulating that piece of hardware, and then yeah. you get the whole set of titles that come with it. Whereas depending on how games were made, you almost have to find a fix on like a game-to-game basis. And, you know, the availability of how the original developers developed and whether they kept even kept source code for games when it was older games like this, or whether they did some real hacky things to make it work.
So what we really need to do is get like a room full of 10 different era computers.
Oh, absolutely.
And keep them in those states. Yep. And so that when I'm playing a game like this, I can go to my 90s Macintosh mm-hmm. over here and I can yeah. play this game really well.
You have a room dedicated to like every 2 years in gaming.
All right, boys, let's finish off the age section by talking about graphics and music.
You mean being high?
Say that again?
You mean being high?
Early 90s, man, right?
Yeah, the graphics, so mid-90s.
You're tripping graphics, on acid.
Brightly colored, just crazy. The environments in the world's same, you know, like yeah. They've got different themes based on which planet you're on, you know, but yeah, I thought it looked good for a game that I'm reminding myself as I'm playing this week, would require me to put in a floppy disk to play, and right, it looks true. This good.
And that's impressive. You're talking a single floppy disk.
Yeah, that's that's like what, 300 megs, maybe?
Probably not even that.
Nowhere near that? No. It's like 300 kilobytes? Some more KBs, like it, yeah. bro?
I don't know. KBs. Well under like hundreds of megabytes.
Yeah. I don't like the graphics. I think they're too bright, and they look okay at some areas, like in the like mechanical world. I think it was World 2, but they colored some of the things in the stage in a confusing way. Like, and maybe I think it might have been one of the first worlds. The like lava, there was some lava in the stage, and it was like falling down the screen. Like, do not touch me. Like, super bright red. Be scared of me, but you can walk through it, or it's in the background. And so at some areas I couldn't tell what was in the foreground and what was in the background, and so that kind of frustrated me.
Yeah, that's okay, fair.
What about the music though?
I
thought the music was really good, actually.
I like it, yeah.
not every single bit of it, but some of it reminded me of Toe Jam and Earl, which is which again, we're in this early 90s type thing, but with a sonic flair, like I feel like they were going for that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But man, some of them were actually really good pieces.
I'm always down for some acid jazz soundtracks in games.
Absolutely. A little repetitive, but that happens. For the hardware, again, for the limitations in what you were getting, I think it was about as good as music from that era gets. It's hard to compare, you know, because we're just so light years ahead of those abilities anymore. But for what they were working with, I think they put some fun atmosphere behind it, and it fits tone of the game, which is huge to me. Like the things they were going for in terms of feel, the music matches, and that's important. And so I think they did a good job with the music. But I also think it was a good looking game visually, though again not perfect, and definitely maybe a little too PC-ish. I don't know.
If you're looking to try out the game this week, or you want to be a collector and get Jazz Jackrabbit, it's going to be very difficult to find you a floppy disk, but a CD-ROM version came out in 1995 that has a few adaptations, full motion videos for some of the cutscenes. There's three new episodes and a special Christmas episode called Holiday Hair. And that's probably the more definitive edition there. Yeah. if you're interested in the series, Jazz Jackrabbit 2 came out later, or it's even better, prequel to Jazz Jackrabbit, which was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Did it first. Hey, Jazz 2 looks pretty good. I was checking it out this week, and it looks really fantastic, like graphics wise. I mean, so I'd play it probably.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status. Not doing this for a week, it was sad, and I'm so happy to be back. It feels
right. We're happy to have you back.
It's so good. It does feel right.
But we also need leave so we can have more podcast success.
New Game Plus status is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Nolan?
No. Sorry, all right, Kenny. I don't give it New Game Plus. It's not that good. I enjoyed some things, and most of it was just like designer programmer charm more than the game being good and that being reflected in the gameplay. So it's just like I'm with Dustin in that I couldn't tell what they were going for, if I was supposed to go through the level fast or if I was supposed to Castlevania explore it, because I think both were there. And when you can't just mix two gameplay styles together like that and it just works. So it didn't connect for me. Good music though.
That is one negative. And Kenny, you've already started. Go.
I have a hard time with this one. I still don't know where I land here.
Well, then how about you talk it out with us right now?
All right, I will. So here's my beef.
You got 10 seconds.
My beef is this era of video games was so fun.
7 seconds.
And this is quintessential mid-90s. And the things about that it does so well. And so it's a nostalgia bomb for me and a fun one. It's bright and colorful and there's some entertaining aspects. But you're right. Some of the design stuff and even the difficulty and accessibility and a number of other things made it harder for me to enjoy this week than I thought. I thought I was going to just go full on nostalgia, dive in and like love every minute of it. And I kind of found myself enjoying lots of pieces of the experience, but not overall getting like sucked in as much as I would like. And so I don't know, maybe it's just that I feel like I'm betraying something that was big to me. And so I can't go that far, but I'm kind of leaning away from it and I hate that.
Wait, so is that what's your answer?
I don't know. No New Game Plus. It hurts me. I can't do it. No New Game Plus.
Don't worry, I'll do it for you. Jazz the Jackrabbit, is the game an imitation or is it a pastiche?
Shut up.
Kenny, do you know what a pastiche is?
It's my mom's favorite flavor of ice cream.
It's also an artistic work in a style that imitates that of another work, artist, or period. So it's a good thing. Like someone's imitating something in a good way. It's not a parody. It's that maybe
kind of an homage. Stealing, sort of.
Okay, right. I gotcha.
Homage. And so I think it's something like that. I agree with both of you. I think we all landed on the exact same place that it's not a bad game and there's some good parts of it. But when it all comes to, and here's my thing, I'll just add this and then I'll be done. I think that it would have been a good to maybe great game when it came out.
Like, absolutely.
To other PC titles, you put in a floppy disk and get this, that is super impressive.
True.
I don't think that's even almost arguable. This game was crazy popular and it was like, this was top of the line for PC gaming at the time. Hands down.
But I just don't think that it holds up today. And I think that my main complaint, if there's only one, is that it asks you to do two things at one time. And that conflict makes the gameplay unenjoyable for me. So I, too, do not give Jazz Jackrabbit my vote. And so Jazz Jackrabbit does not receive New Game Plus status.
Kenny betrayed Jazz.
I'm going to say I'm a little surprised and the child in me is a little hurt, but I get it. I really do.
Well, let's see what our friends thought. Antonin wrote in this week. Welcome back, friend. He said this. Picture this. It's the mid-90s. You hear about Windows for the first time. Your keyboard lacks a mouse next to it. And every day when you get to your 386 or 286, you're greeted with a command prompt, or maybe the blue of the DOS navigator. So you fire up a game, a really cool game. The sound comes on because, yeah, you've got a sound card. And you're greeted with a green jazzy rabbit with a gun. How cool is that? That's my nostalgia with Jazz. When the music came on this week, I was a kid again. Anyways, it's a good game. Really enjoyed how Jazz handles on the platforms. The levels were fun. The colors are beautiful. I'd say it's highly replayable and totally playable in today's day and age. That's the same thing. In fact, I'm surprised we don't see it remade. I hope you all gave this wonderful game a new game plus status.
I love it when they say that.
I mean, we are close, right? Three out of three did not.
Well, I'm certainly probably the closest in overlapping appreciation here, and I don't know why I couldn't. It just didn't quite sell me. I don't know. I still think this is a great game. It's just not a new game plus status great game.
Jonathan wrote in. That is Sor Aran. He said, "Hello, y'all. Am I the only one that was waiting for Dr. Robotnik to come out? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but straight up gangsta copying? Heck, there is even an old ragged looking Sonic in the manual for the game. Amazed Epic even got away with this, although I did enjoy something about this game. I will admit the platforming on a PC is not my preferred gaming experience, but I did enjoy my time with old Jazz Jackrabbit. The colors were cool and the running was fun. If things get difficult, just let the rabbit run and spam the shoot button. Anyways, can't wait to see what you guys think."
Yeah, that's true. You can always tell when a platformer is on PC or not. I don't know why. Like,
yeah, there's something.
I would have told you that it was if I didn't know and you gave me this game. I would have been like, it's a PC game.
Here's the deal, guys. I'm a little afraid we're about to end this episode without talking about his little sidekick you can unlock.
The bird?
And we needed to and we never did.
That it's not special. You can
Tails?
You just find it's a bird, it's and a he's cute and he shoots stuff.
That's Miles Prower, aka Tails.
Nah, I like it.
Phil wrote in and he said, "Pros and cons. Pros, really enjoyable music, especially Tube Electric," which I've got to agree with. That was a really good one. "Looks good. Love the bright colors. Switching weapons is great, even though I didn't have a need for any different types in my playthrough. Cons, loose controls. Jazz slides when you try and stop after you've been moving too fast. And this makes sense when you consider that he's moving super fast, but it sucks when you're trying to jump onto a relatively small platform. Shooting doesn't really work with moving so fast. Either you're moving fast enough that you're just shooting blindly, or you're plodding along using your gun. Pick a gimmick and commit to it. No new game plus for me."
Dang.
He actually summed up a lot of the stuff we were feeling succinctly. Yeah.
Instead of recording this podcast, we should have just read his email.
Yeah. Scrap it.
We're out of a job, guys.
Thank you guys for sending in your thoughts. Love when viewer interaction like this takes place. Yeah. You can always send your emails to ngppodcast@gmail.com, or we're going to open up a channel in our Discord, right, Nolan, where you can put your commentary there and we can read it straight from there each and every week. But now we are putting Jazz Jackrabbit to the side, really into its grave, never to be seen again by us. And we are going to randomly select a new retro game of the week that we are going to be playing for the next 7 days. And it is an action adventure hack and slash video game.
Ocarina of Time?
Developed by SCE Cambridge Studio and published by Sony. Came out for the PlayStation in 1998. And it is called Medieval. Did I pronounce that right?
That's not how you say that word.
I know it's you pronounce it medieval, but this is spelled Medi, M-E-D-I, and then capital E-V-I-L. Kenny?
They're wrong. Don't ask him. He doesn't know.
I would probably go with like saying it like...
It's definitely medieval, right?
No, I wouldn't pronounce the E again. I'd say medieval.
They're trying to emphasize the evil.
Yeah, I'd just put medieval. An evil emphasized in saying the word medieval.
Nope.
I'm calling it medieval.
They're spelled differently.
Well, I know, but I'd just say
this is medieval. Play medieval with us.
Is that was pretty close, I think.
It was on PlayStation.
It was and is, yes.
It was for a few years. It's not anymore. It jumped consoles.
Grab a copy of Medieval with us and play along with us this week. We'd love to know what you think about this this game that once was on a PlayStation and is now on the Wii U, the least selling console of Nintendo of all times.
Join us in our Discord this week. We're going to be talking about Medieval a lot and trolling Kenny, but he won't be there to defend himself. It's a lot of fun. Tons of people have joined. Go to our Twitter, click on the link for Discord and get Discord, you noobs.
Hey, we also got to say big shout out to our Patreons.
I hate it.
While we're mispronounced, I can't speak.
Mispronunciation.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, as mentioned, we had a kind of exciting week of activity here at New Game Plus in that we picked up a couple of new patrons who are supporting the show on patreon.com. First, we want to say thanks to Rykon, who has jumped into giving us some monthly support. And we also picked up a new producer level supporter, which is very nice. We've had some faithful supporters at that level for a while, but are now welcoming Phil to our producer level support team.
Welcome,
so
buddy.
Welcome, we got to give our big shout out this week, not just to Zion, Bradley, and Gimbarino, but also to Phil. So
I love that. We have a new producer.
Great. I know. I'm going to have to get new shout outs kind of under my tongue.
Yeah.
Bradley, Zion, Gambrino, and Phil.
I think for the first year, pretty much, it was Bradley and Zion. Mm-hmm. And then for the longest time now, it's been the Trinity. But now we are making it a foursome.
The Quadrigy.
Quadrinity.
Quadrinid. I got nothing. But
Phil,
welcome on board. We're so glad to have you.
Follow us on social media. That's Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast or YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. You can listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Medieval.
Nailed it.
Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nalan.
And this has been New Game Plus.
I hate my life. Dun 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 d